Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Slobberknocker Talk with Austin Illy. I know it's been a few weeks. We just had some hiccups. I had an injury, and then it got tied up on a Tuesday night, forgetting I had the show for a brief second, but it happens when you run your own business. Today, we're going to go over some scores. I'm not really going to focus on one major game, just focus on some awkward or upsetting news for some of the teams. The first game is the Eagles versus the Texans. The Eagles won, staying undefeated at 8-0. The NFC's top team. They took the game at 29-17. Colts versus Patriots, a game that not really many people cared about, just kind of a game. Patriots took it 26-3. Chargers versus Falcons, Chargers took it 20-17. Justin Herbert, former Oregon player, leading Chargers to at least winning seasons. I don't see them being playoff contenders until they can fix the front seven, maybe get them some better wide receivers. Keenan Allen is good, but he's getting older. Let's see how that goes. Lions versus Packers. The Packers just can't seem to get it together anymore. I don't know if it's losing Davante Adams, who is another field general, or just the lack of communication between Rodgers, the coaches, and the GMs. But the Lions took it at 15-9. Bills versus Jets, two of the AFC's top teams. Jets took it at 20-17. A little bit surprising there. A lot of it was defense. A lot of it was miscommunication on the Bills' side of offense. And the fact that Zach Wilson is just playing on a whole caliber that most people don't really expect him to, being only his second year compared to Allen, who's on, I think, his fourth year. But we'll see how that goes. Jets have a lot of underlying receivers who aren't big names but can get the job done. Bills have Stephon Diggs and Dawson Knox. Devin Singletary, they just grabbed Nyheim Hines from the Colts, which anyone remembers before Taylor, it was Hines as their top running back. So no one knows what the Bills are going to do. Are they going to use him as a receiving threat like he was for the Colts? Are they going to run him and run a dual scary back like Browns do with Hunt and Chubb and have Hines and Singletary? It's a big toss-up. Gabe Davis, on the other hand, for the Bills, does lead the NFL in most yards after a catch. So between those two teams, I expect at least one of them to make it to the final round of the AFC playoffs. Vikings versus Commanders, the other top NFC. Vikings take it 20-17. The Commanders are probably the most balanced team, just not able to get big wins. So I'm going to ride on the Vikings and Eagles being the last two contenders for the NFC playoffs, unless magically some other team can come up from behind. But when I go over the top five teams of each conference in a little bit, you'll see what I mean about the NFC is just not what they used to be 2 or 3 years ago. Panthers versus Bengals. Panthers are doing a dual quarterback start between P.J. Walker, which, fun fact, came from the Canadian Football League, played for the NFL, went back to the XFL, which was owned by WWE, and back to the Panthers, had a starting job, blew his ACL, went to the XFL again, and then came back to the NFL. Man's a travelman. He's played with a lot of different players, played with retired players in the XFL, and so on. When he's under center, Panthers score more than 21 points a game. They even won the last two games they started with him. But they lost this one, Bengals 42-21. And this is without Burrow having all three of his weapons as Ja'Marr Chase is down with an injury. Still has T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. Raiders versus Jags. I expected this to be an easy blowout by the Jags because the Raiders have won nothing this year. Maybe one game. I believe one game. But the Jags won 27-20. One touchdown away for the Raiders to just tie the game. Dolphins versus Bears. Tua's back. They only lost one game since he was out. Fins take it 35-32. Thank goodness. Steelers traded Chase Claypool to the Bears. So now Justin Fields, former Ohio State boy, has a lot more weapons for him. They big body receiver and two speedsters in Mooney and the running back Montgomery. Seahawks versus Cardinals. Everyone doubted Geno Smith for taking Russell Wilson's spot. But the man is winning games. He beat Cardinals 31-21. And he doesn't favor Lockett. He doesn't favor Metcalf. He doesn't favor even his tight ends, which he has Noah Fant, which played for the Broncos. He's just an all-around good quarterback. And honestly, the people who got fired for wanting to start him, uncalled for. He's a great starter. He could lead the Seahawks. If the Seahawks draft someone else, I think they're going to be dumb for that. He's young. He can run. He can deep ball it. Man recorded a 78-yard throw at 60 miles per hour. He can get it done, whether through the air, through the legs, or just quarterback sneaks. He's a good triple threat quarterback. There's not much he can't do. Rams versus Bucks. Brady finally got over the divorce from his wife and won a game. Bucks take it 16-13. Titans versus Chiefs. Another win that I thought was going to be easy, as the Titans are doing okay this year, but they're not the caliber they were 2 years ago when they were able to beat the Chiefs on a consistent level. Mahomes takes it in an overtime victory at 20-17. Ravens versus Saints. Two teams that are very, very balanced. Offensively, defensively, both have speedsters, both have dual threat quarterbacks. One's from the AFC, one's from the NFC, but these are the two teams I feel like are the most similar between the two conferences. Because you have Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, Lamar Jackson. List goes on and on and on and on and on. Just scary both sides of the field. Just have coaching issues or communication issues. The Saints used to be NFC's number one most balanced team. Always had like 11-3, 11-4, sometimes 10. What I'm saying is their winning record is always normally better. This year, it's so-so. Let's talk about something that I want to talk about last week. The Christian McCaffrey trade to the 49ers. The Panthers could not keep him. Cap space, having Mayfield, trying to keep P.J. Walker as a starter, having a backup running back, plus Christian McCaffrey's history of injuries. But I feel like the history of his injuries come from him being the workhorse. He runs, he catches, he can even throw passes. He did quarterback in high school. He's like Taysom Hill for the Saints, but he did not have the protection Taysom Hill had. So Christian McCaffrey was getting hit constantly, messing up his hip, his knee, his ankles. But the 49ers have the front seven that he needs. Already with the 49ers, he's becoming a number one running back again. I'm not saying he's going to beat out Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry or Delvin Cook, but you're going to see his prime when he had those 2 years back-to-back of 1,000 catching yards and 1,000 running yards. Only the second running back in history to ever do that, and he did it 2 years in a row. Also, another trade that was brought to my attention was Bradley Chubb. I don't know how well that trade's going to be. I don't remember what team it was, but I think some of these trades, like CMC, the Panthers got a lot of trades out of that trade, like a lot of good draft picks. But I don't see them replacing him or even finding a good front seven, just because the coaching and the offensive line coach and everything about the Panthers just needs replaced. You can hire as many head coaches as you want, but sometimes it's just the general manager or the owners even. On a side note, some of the owners of some of the teams are stepping down this year, which is good. Maybe some new management, new ownership can change a lot of these teams around. Some of the surprising wins, like I said, this week were the Jets over the Bills. It's not really surprising, but the Bills are normally a 30 to 40 point game team. Jets held them to only 20. That says something about the defense. The Jets defense secondary is scary. For them to hold Stephon Diggs to under 100 yards, who is the number one receiver right now besides Tyreek Hill, I think they're only like 5 yards away from each other, and it's been a constant first and second place battle between those two. It's unbelievable. And to hold Gabe Davis to under 15 yards average per reception, when I said previously he is the leader of average yards after a reception. He leads with 17.4 on average. That's every game of the 9 games so far this season. Gabe Davis, good wide receiver for fantasy just for the fact of that. But if you want him to get you points for being a just all-around receiver, don't do it. He's a deep threat and a running threat. Just leave him there. Lions over the Packers. I don't know what Rodgers is doing. He's just not able to get the yardage that he's able to do. I feel like maybe start Jordan Love, take notes from other teams like the Jets, the Eagles, the Dolphins. Put the old man on the back burner, even though Aaron Rodgers will throw a fit, do whatever hippie stuff he's on nowadays. Who knows? But let's see what Jordan Love can do. Go from there. Maybe a younger quarterback is what the younger receivers need. Alan Lazard's not that young, but Rodgers just can't escape the pocket like he can. He's taking hits. He's being pressured too much. This is a man who took a destroyed Packers team after Favre retired and within a year or two made them Super Bowl contenders again. He has the capability, and I know the Packers front office and the Packers back office don't really like him too much, but he's loyal to them and wants to stay there. He just wants what he thinks he's worth. The man's a four-time MVP. I say give him what he's worth. Maybe he'll play better. Top five NFC teams right now as it sits. Eagles 8-0. Jalen Hurts leading the charge. The only receiver they have really that's notable is Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Not really notable tight ends, but that front seven is what has him going with the likes of Jason Kelce upon others. When you think of a top two duo team, you either think of the Watt brothers and TJ and JJ, or Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. There's other brothers like the Bosa brothers who both play the same position, but we kind of expect that, seeing as Nick is really good, so Joey is good, and vice versa. And they play in conferences and play games where the offensive line is not really the best. A lot of the teams the 49ers face this year, Bosa's able to just slip around. Same thing with the AFC. As much as they are high power offenses, if you try to run against any of those Bosas right there, you ain't getting by. They can sneak past any lineman, doesn't matter how good they are. Number two NFC team is the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, Mr. No Showtime, No Win playoff game. He's showing that he is done being a choke artist. With Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook looking healthy, Cousins being accurate, having a great passer rating of 89.9%, which is not very good considering Jimmy Garoppolo's team, the 49ers, he's at 100.3, Jalen Hurts is 107.1. Just because he doesn't throw as much, he runs, he's a dual threat quarterback. So for Kirk to be up there with some big names, even though he's considered a choke artist, if you look at his stats before he was a full-time starter, Cousins has been good the whole time. He's just not great under pressure. And I think this year is showing that he's past that point in his life. Cowboys, 6-2. Four of those came from Cooper Rush, the backup. Notice the theme here. The second strings are actually doing better than the starters. Dak Prescott's good, yes. C.D. Lamb is good, yes. Tight ends there are good. Running back is good. I say start Pollard over Elliott. Have Elliott be a big-bodied running back to break the one-yard, two-yard runs for the small third downs, and let Pollard just run. Pollard's easily getting 100 yards a game. Elliott's just not what he used to be. Is he still a good running back? Oh, for sure. He can still power through lines, still get everything done. Giants, 6-2. What is going on with the NFC? The Giants last year had one of the most abysmal records in football with Daniel Jones, who is supposed to be Eli Manning's predecessor, the next Eli Manning, blah, 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 blah. Let's not get into that. I still think the kid's good. He's a dual threat, but I still can't get over 2 years ago when he had that 80-yard breakaway and he tripped over his own feet. He just fell about 5 yards short of the touchdown. He was like, I'm going to make it. Forrest is running home. Never mind, Forrest tripped. So we'll see what he does. His accuracy is good. He's still running good. So let's just hope for the best for the Giants. Maybe see them in second round playoff elimination. I don't see them beating the Vikings or Eagles. And this is where it gets hard with the NFC. Because after the Giants and Cowboys being 6-2, every other team is actually 4-5, 4-4, 4-6. The only team that is not, and it's because they had a bye week this week, but I feel like they would have won, is the 49ers with a 4-4. I don't know if anyone remembers, but 2 years ago, the NFC would be like the AFC is now. Every team having 6 to 8 wins. This year, let's just go over this real quick. The NFC, Eagles are 8-0, Cowboys 6-2, Giants 6-2, Commanders 4-5, Seahawks 6-3. I'm not putting them in the top five just because they haven't really played the Eagles and Cowboys. I mean, they have, but those are still guaranteed two losses for them. I see the Giants beating them again. So we'll see how that goes. The 49ers are 4-4. The former Super Bowl champs of last year. Rams are 3-5. Cardinals are 3-6. Vikings are 7-1. Packers are 3-6. Bears are 3-6. Lions are 2-6, which them beating the Packers still amazes me. The Buccaneers are 4-5. They're tied with the Falcons for 4-5. Saints are 3-6, and Panthers are 2-7. Panthers don't really surprise me at all. The AFC, though, for the top five, Bills 6-2, Jets 6-3, Chiefs 6-2, Ravens 6-3, and Dolphins 6-3. Like I said, 2 years ago, that would be the other way around. The AFC would have the undefeated team in a score like that. They would have teams with undefeated and then a bunch of winning games. But now it's the AFC that has the most consistent play. Let's look at their teams. Bills are 6-2, Jets are 6-3, Dolphins are 6-3, Patriots are 5-4, Chiefs are 6-2, Chargers are 5-3. This is where two of the worst teams come out. Broncos are 3-5, Raiders are 2-6, but then it goes back into Ravens 6-3, Bengals 5-4, Browns and Steelers, they're 3-5 and 2-6. Let's not go there. Titans are 5-3, and then the only three bad, really bad teams are the Colts at 3-5, Jags at 3-6, and the Texans at 1-6-1. Just a weird year for the NFL. If you were betting money on being an AFC heavy draft, fantasy draft, go with the AFC. If you're planning to do it with the NFC players, don't even try it. Because right now, out of the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL, 8 of the 10 are from the AFC. Let that sink in. The American Football Conference of the NFL is just taking over. I believe they're going to be the number one conference between the two for the years to come. Only because they're doing what the NFC is not, and they're starting all their young players, changing their coaches, changing their owners, changing the back office, changing the front office. They're just doing everything they can to make their teams better. And another fun fact, the Dolphins under Tua have numbers 1 and 5 of the top 10 receivers, both on the list. And Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle both averaging 100 to 140 yards every single game. Even the game when Tua did not start. Those two are just scary. Deep, they're both speedsters, they're both deep threats. They both have chemistry with each other, and they both get along with Tua very well. Actually, when Tua was hurt, those were the two most concerned. Waddle and Hill were the first ones down to him when that big concussion hit happened. Now, my favorite part of the thing, top five receivers, no order, just stats. Tyreek Hill, 7 receptions, 143 yards, 20.4 average, 1 touchdown, but that's also back with Tua. Don't expect Gabe Davis to stay most yards after the carry anymore. I believe Hill or Waddle's going to take it. Speaking of another 100-yard receiver, Cooper Kupp, with an upsetting loss for the Bucks, was still able to get 8 receptions, 127 yards, 15.9 average, and 1 touchdown. Everyone knows about Kupp, the Triple Crown winner, had all 3 wide receiver titles given to him last year. Most yards after the carry, most receptions, most touchdowns, he had all of them. He's still up there. He's number 2 right now. And this is with a abysmal Rams, who aren't doing as good as they were last year. Stephon Diggs, still one of the better ones, held to under 100 yards this week over with the Jets secondary. 5 receptions, 93 yards, 18.6 average, 0 touchdowns. I know he doesn't have any touchdowns, but the fact of the matter is the Jets secondary have shut down a lot of wide receiver cores, and Diggs was still able to do something. Next is Justin Jefferson. Everyone knows who he is. Stephon Diggs' replacement on the Vikings. And honestly, if it wasn't for Ja'Marr Chase, the best wide receiver to come out of LSU besides Landry and Odell. He has 7 receptions, 115 yards, 16.4 average after the catch, 1 touchdown. He's in the top 10 as well. Him, Ja'Marr Chase. It's literally just an AFC and LSU show in the wide receivers. And finally, Jaylen Waddle, 5 receptions, 85 yards, 17 average, and 1 touchdown. I'm expecting to see, and this is going to be my prediction as the top 5 for the end of the year. I'm going to put Hill as 1. I'm going to put Diggs as 2nd, as I see the Bills going further than the Rams, so he would have more opportunity to get better yards. Because honestly, without the playoffs, the Super Bowl Cup would not have been the number one receiver. Then I'm going to put Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase tied for 3rd and 4th. One of them is going to be one or the other. And then Waddle. I will say Waddle's number five. I do see maybe one or two not so populars popping up. Maybe Tyler Boyd or T. Higgins, as Jamar Chase is out right now. But I feel like if the injury's not for the whole year, which they haven't disclosed yet, it's going to be one of those two. But I enjoy talking to y'all, and I hope you enjoy the break and stay prepared for Take Point 22 coming on after me. Have a good day.
All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. Coming up next, don't forget to join us on Take Point 22. We have Lee Collum that's coming on, and of course my partner Karen, she'll be on here with me. So we look forward to that. We'll be back in just about 10 minutes right here on the Trim Radio Network with our guests and everything else. So I'll tell you what, stick around because we've got some great stuff coming up. Anyway, we'll see you in just about 10, guys. Take care, and don't forget, come on over to the Trim Radio Network. We have a lot going on, and it is absolutely fantastic.